Ronnie, who was leaving the studio, and he says, "Is it okay if I hug you?" And I said, "Oh my God, yes!" And it's just he was just the sweetest, most lovely man doing this incredible work, and we just wish him all the luck in the world. Just a lovely, lovely moment that obviously on radio you can see. But I just want to remind you, it's Zsa Zsa's Kids. It's JAJJAS. kids.org, and that was very, very special. Equally special, equally special, Jesse Feiler is with us. He is our tech guru this morning, and he is here this morning to tell us, give us the straight scoop on the ins and outs of coding. We need to know this. Jesse spends time writing, consulting, and building apps, sometimes at the same time. With Gail Naowith, he is finishing the Nonprofit Risk book due out in October and the Nonprofit Risk app currently in beta testing mode. Jesse, it's always a wonderful pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
It's always good to be here, and I'm sorry I didn't update my bio.
Oh, okay. You know what?
It's now in the App Store.
It is in the App Store. And the book's still coming out in October.
I'm supposed to be copy editing even as we speak.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you back to that soon, I promise.
Yes.
You shared with me some articles from the New York Times. And what I thought was interesting about this, which is, I believe, why you even brought this up as a possible subject, is that this whole idea that it must be important if the New York Times is talking about it, number one, but that they have these boot camps out there for coding, that this has become the thing. And then you also sent another article about tech jobs and what people are looking for, and what they're looking for is people that can do this.
They're looking for the
coders.
The word that they're using,
yes,
is skill.
The skill of coding? Or just
specific skills.
Yes.
And this, I have a quote here from one of the articles are excellent. I noticed one of them a few months ago, and then I saw another one that I thought, and both of them are on the website so people can read them. And I saw another one that reminded me of the first one, and I thought it was very good. And I dug them both up, and they're from the New York Times, and they're both by Steve Lohr. So that's why, obviously, the man is a genius because I agree with what he says, or he agrees with me. Something along those lines.
No, you're a genius.
But he's talking about, he uses a couple of terms that are being bandied about, new-collar jobs as opposed to white-collar or blue-collar, and middle-skill jobs. And these are the examples that he's giving in these articles are people who one of them has a degree from a community college, but the others do not have traditional degrees. And they tend to be working in, they're either doing, as a hobbyist perhaps, taking things apart, machines apart, TV remotes, TVs, and so forth, or one of them was a manager at a Burger King. One of them in West Virginia applied for a job at Walmart and Burger King, but neither one was hiring.
Mm.
And so these various people have found their ways into these sometimes boot camps, sometimes other things where they get specific training in the skills of writing code, testing code, all of these things. And they're going from jobs such as one of the numbers here, a manager at a Burger King wound up making more as coding, and other people like that. So they're going from a lack of opportunity to learning skills that are valuable outside of or in parallel with the traditional education environment.
I asked this question out of curiosity, but I hopefully you know how it's intended, which is, what kind of mind does one have to be a good coder? There's the people who are really good at math, and there's people who are really good at English and the arts, you know, the liberal arts students, and then the difference between bachelors of arts and bachelors of science. But so I think of myself that I would be a rotten coder, But I don't know. Is the skill one where that math and science background and interest is of great assistance?
The skill is that I believe, this is my opinion and from watching and learning and working with a number of people over the years, the skill that is needed is a logical mind and the ability to recognize patterns, because patterns, to be able to say, okay, I have to write this system. Here's what people want out of this app or system. And it's very complicated. And then to be able to look at it and say, okay, let me think of it in a different way. And instead of 4,000 complicated things to write, I can turn it into 5 things that can be, that are the basic models for the 4,000.
Yeah.
So instead of 4,000 separate things, it's 5 things that you do variations on. And the skill for that is a skill of logic. And the concrete example that I have given for years, and I will not do it with the sound effects.
Oh, damn. But okay, go ahead.
Is the Star-Spangled Banner.
All right.
Now, if you've been to school, which I assume you have been, you may have sung.
I'm in radio. Of course I wasn't.
May have sung perhaps the Star-Spangled Banner or the Battle Hymn of the Republic or something like that. And the way it works is someone sits down at the keyboard and bashes out a few chords, which set things up. They give you the key and the tempo, right?
Right.
And then everyone sings the first verse.
Okay.
Then everyone sings the chorus. Then you go back and you sing the second verse, which is the same as the first verse in terms of music, but different words. So it's the same but different. Then you go to the chorus, which is the same every time. Then you go to the third verse, which is the same music, different words. And you keep on going, so you have the setup, you have the variable, limited variation of each verse. Then you have the chorus, which is the same every time. And if you can remember back to school assemblies, at the very end, the one thing that's different is at the end of the last chorus, the sopranos go up. That's my musicological analysis of songs like the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And is that fairly accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, if you can understand that, you've got the basics of coding. Because that's what it's all about. It's looking for patterns. How is this like that? How can I make this like that? How can I find what has to be something totally different, like the sopranos at the end with the hula hoops or whatever they do for the big finish? But the pattern there is a setup, something that's repeated with variations,
right.
Something that's repeated without variations, and the sopranos.
So I was looking up some of the things, and I think it was brought up in one of the articles, which that there is a perception that this work can be tedious and boring. Although I would maintain that any profession has its moments of tedious and boring.
I was just going to say, I won't say it and I won't ask it, but it would be an interesting question to ask. What percentage of your work is tedious and boring?
Well, that's right. You know, they're always a thing. But meaning that it's, but it also is a very solitary profession, isn't it?
Yours or?
Well, I mean, I'm all alone in a studio, except when you come in and then I.
Anything can be tedious and boring. And it also depends on things like the weather, your mood. All of these things fit into it. There's some discipline involved or experience involved in being able to function when you have a cold.
Right.
And to know when you can't function, to know when you just bag it and say, I'm not going to do it today because it's better for me to get a good night's rest.
I've done what I can do.
If you don't like many, many aspects of it, then it's not the right job for you.
Right.
But I don't think it requires the logical, the ability to see patterns and what's similar and what's different. To me, that is the key skill. It's not even a skill. It's a trait. I don't think you can learn that.
Now, as we wrap up, let's just talk about why this is so important. I mean, of why everybody is looking for coders and why this is such an opportunity. Because all of this stuff that we do has to be coded, right? All of the stuff that comes to us, all of this new fangled technological stuff,
well,
comes from a coder, right?
Now you probably want me to respond to that with my own words, but I'm not going to do that. I'll give you a quote from Robert Reich.
Oh, all right. Well, I greatly respect you, but I also respect Robert Reich.
These are his words.
Okay.
We desperately need to revive a second route to the middle class for people without four-year college degrees, as manufacturing once was.
Okay, so this will be the new manufacturing sector.
This is manufacturing is big. Everyone's very interested in manufacturing, but this skill-based, middle skill set of skills involved largely with technology can be that route.
Practically speaking, is this something that they can offshore as well in 10 years, or is it something that that could stay in this country? Meaning, I don't need to necessarily be where all of the other coders are. I can be in my home. I can be somewhere, right? I don't have to be.
It depends what part of this economy you're working in. If you're doing things like testing code, you can test some code anywhere in the world. But if what you're testing is something that has been written for, let's say, for managing the schedule of a radio station, chances are you're going to want to test that code a radio station.
Right.
Because the people in the radio station probably aren't like the normal people in other places.
And I know I'm going in the weeds here, but would it be the radio station who would hire that person, or would I hire someone who would hire that person to do it for the radio station? Do you know what I mean? Like, are places going to be hiring coders themselves, or are they going to be outsourcing it to a company who would provide that
yes
as
and
a
no.
service?
If a radio station, for example, goes out and hires a consultant to build something,
yes,
they might would have their testers. They might, once that contract is fulfilled and something is delivered, the station might hire people to do their own testing and training.
Okay.
So it could happen. And this is a weak spot. We don't do enough testing.
Why is testing so? I mean, I understand why testing is so important, but why is that a weak spot? How has that become a weak spot?
It becomes because we have this problem that people who are developing any product, but particularly code, we have a tendency to say, we've finished, we've delivered it here. Here's a demonstration. You're set. It's wonderful. And then someone sits down and tries to do the first thing with it, and it doesn't work. And that's because the testing didn't cover this particular example, which might be, for example, scheduling events on a legal holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so testing, it's a very difficult transition for everyone at every role in software development to make the transition from saying, yes, this is wonderful, this is exactly what we want, to turning around and saying, we suspect that nothing here is working. And that's not an anger thing. That's just a natural progression. You have to say, okay, I believe in it, but now I have to assume that it's not going to work so that I can test it properly.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, and you can find out more. Jesse always puts up great links to those articles that we mentioned and other information at his website, champlainarts.com. Champlainarts.com, a link to that at our site as well, along with this interview. Jesse Feiler, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.